All right, I'm ready to hear Brother Caleb preach. And I hope you are too. I'm ready for it. And this is first time on Wednesday night, but I heard him in the bus meeting. I've heard of Vacation Bible School. Heard him in junior church. He's a good preacher. And so I'm excited about hearing him preach. He's a fireball. We were talking the other day, and he said, yes. He said his dad used to say, big things come in small packages. And that's the truth when it comes to Caleb Hansen. He's a good man. He's got a fervor for the Lord and a fervor for the ministry, both. And he's already had folks down now. He's already had folks in the water bank here at the church, out visiting and trying to reach people for the Lord. So, blessing to have him here with us, part of the ministry, and his good wife. So, we're looking forward to hearing from him tonight. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have a special. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray you bless us tonight. And Lord, we have something. You have something for us from your word. I pray that, Lord, we have an ear to hear what you have for us. Help us to be attentive. Help us to be alert. And hear that. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In Christ's name, amen.
A blessing. If you have your Bibles, take them and turn to Psalms chapter 126, verse 5. Psalms 126 and verse 5. While you're turning there, I want to say thank you to everyone that has made our move easy. Somebody asked me the other day, are you adjusted? Are you moved in? I said, well, there wasn't a whole lot of adjusting. We just kind of came and feel like family the first Wednesday that we were here. So thank you so much for the cookies, those of you who make cookies, and just all the different things you gave us and your kindness you showing to my wife and I. I want to thank you for that. Psalms 126, chapter 5, or 126, verse 5 and 6, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here the Bible talks about a man going out and sowing seed. It likens a sowinner unto a farmer. It likens a sowinner as a man going out and having his pouch full of the seed on his side, and going out and spreading that seed throughout the different different fields. And it says, as he sows it, he cries, and then as he comes in, he's rejoicing with his sheaves. And the Bible is talking about the sowinner and likening him unto a farmer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word here that we can read. God, I pray that you come down and that you meet with us today. Give us the truth out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember growing up on a farm. I loved springtime and I loved the fall time. I remember in school, springtime in school, we had a little brick schoolhouse that we used to go to, and my desk was by the window. And I used to do my work, and in the springtime, I'd see the tractors go by, and they would have their great big discs hooked up, and they would go by, and they'd start tilling up the ground and making all those fields black. And boy, that was an exciting time. I didn't want to be in there doing arithmetic and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to be out there getting into the mud and into the dirt. It was an exciting time. I like springtime. And then another time that I love is the fall time. I loved it, looking out those windows and watching those combines, going through the corn and going through the beans and reaping the crop that they had worked all summer long. And watching those great big trucks go off to town with a whole bunch of grain in the back of them. That was an exciting time. I think it's a plan. They lock kids up during both of those seasons, the most exciting seasons, the sowing and the reaping. But I would get so excited on the farm during those times. I remember going out, getting in the truck, and going out and picking some apples in the orchard. Boy, that was fun. And we'd bring it home. My mom would do some canning, and we would do some grinding for the applesauce. And she put up several quarts of apple pie filling, and she put up several quarts of apple sauce, and it was a good time. I love spring and I love fall. But here the Bible is talking about a man going out and he's sowing in the field. He sows seed, and then it talks about the man coming in with his sheaves and rejoicing, the sower. I believe the sower, the Bible says in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. The sower's tears. I believe the sower's tears have a purpose. The Bible says in Lamentations 2 and verse 11, mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughters of my people because of children. And the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. Here, Jeremiah, he says, I go into the cities of Jerusalem, and as I look out into the cities, I see people that have been darkened. That word swoon means to be darkened. And he says, I look out, and where they used to praise the Lord, they're bowing down and worshiping idols. Where they used to be talking about how good God is and how great God is for the harvest that was brought in that year. Now they're talking about the idols that they have. He says, I look out and I see, and my heart is troubled. In Lamentations 3 and verse 51, it says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Jeremiah says, I have to weep. My tears flow down my cheeks. Several times in Jeremiah talks about, Jeremiah says, oh, that my eyes were rivers. Oh, my tears come down my cheeks. And he talks about the tears that he sheds for Israel. And the Bible says that the man that goeth out weeping, bearing precious seed, will come again rejoicing. I believe Jeremiah went out weeping because he saw the need. He saw the need of the people that needed some compassion. The Bible says, talking about Jesus here, Matthew 9 and verse 36, he saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion on them. Matthew 14:14 says, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Matthew 15:32 says, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude. Matthew 20 and verse 34 says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Mark 1:41 says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. The Bible says in Mark 6 and verse 34, and Jesus saw much people and was moved with compassion. Mark 8:2 says, I have compassion on the multitude. Luke 7 and verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, he was moved with compassion. Jude 22 says, and some having compassion, making a difference. The Bible says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall surely come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Bible talks about the tears of the sower. I believe the tears of the sower is from the sower looking out. And he's saying, look at the needs of the people. Look at the needs of the people. How about you today as you go out sowing, as you go out bus calling, as you go visit your little Sunday school boy that came to church and visited your Sunday school class for the first time? Do you see the need that is in that home? Do you see that little boy that doesn't have a mom and dad that cares for them, that wants to bring them to church, that doesn't have a mom and dad that tucks them to sleep, tucks them into bed and prays with them before they go to bed? Do you see the need in the home? When was the last time you cried about a lost friend that you have? When was the last time you cried about a lost relative that you have? When was the last time your eyes began to fill up with tears in your prayer life? And when was the last time those tears began to trickle down your cheeks and say, Oh God, I got to have some compassion. Oh dear God, please, just give me a little bit more compassion for this soul. Oh dear God, help me to make a difference in this person's life. William Booth, after living a full life, and after ministering to many, many people, William Booth, in his funeral, he was honored at his funeral. He had royalty there, and the royalty, sitting by royalty, was a lady dressed in street clothes. She was dressed, she didn't have the nicest clothes. She had rags on. And the queen looked down and said, lady was waiting for the casket to pass by. And as the casket passed by, she had a flower in her hand, and she reached out and put it on William Booth's casket. And the queen looked down and said, how do you know William Booth? And she replied with this answer, he cared for the likes of us. He cared for the likes of us. That was that lady's response to the queen. She said, hey, he may have known you, but he knew us also. He knew us, he cared for us, and I know that this man had some compassion for me. And that lady, her life was changed. Why? Because a man had some compassion for a lady. What do you see when you go out sowing? What do you see when you go out sowing? Do the tears start swelling up in your eyes? Say, dear God, help me to make a difference in this family's life. Help me to make a difference for this family. These little boys and girls running around, Lord, please help me to make a difference in their lives. I believe the tears of the sower is because he sees the need. I believe the tears of the sower is because he sees the destruction. He sees the destruction. Oh, the Bible talks about Satan being as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan has a plan for the lost person. Satan has a plan for the lost person. Do you see the destruction? I love the story of Abraham. I love the story of Abraham pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we see the angels turning and going down to Sodom and Gomorrah as the Lord commanded them to do. And Abraham standing before God and saying, God, you gotta please save Sodom and Gomorrah for 50 people. God, won't you do it, please? Please, God, just for 50 people. God says, okay, I'll save it for 50 people. Abraham goes down the numbers, and you find him there. God, won't you please save Sodom and Gomorrah for 10? God, just for 10. Lord, please, will you do it? I won't ask you again. God, but will you please save Sodom and Gomorrah for 10? We see a man that had a man with compassion. He saw the destruction of those two cities. He saw the destruction of those two cities. He saw the eternal destruction. There's a poem that I learned in college. It goes like this. Then to the gates of hell I rise to seek an answer from the sky. How long must I endure these torments on this flaming shore? Down thundering from the vaulted throne, I hear these dreaded words alone. For all eternity. For all eternity. As you go and knock on that door Tuesday night, Tuesday at 10 o'clock, you go and knock on those doors Saturday, remember it's an eternal destruction that you're dealing with. You're dealing with somebody that's going to face eternity for all, either in heaven or in hell. You're dealing with a lost soul or a soul that needs Jesus Christ. It's the sower's tears are because he sees the destruction is for eternity. The destruction is for eternity. He sees the sower's tears are because he sees the destruction is separation from God and man. God will turn his back on man that is in hell someday. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 and verse 2, but your iniquity have separated you and your God. Your iniquity has separated between you and your God. Hey, you don't want anybody to be separated between God and themselves. You don't want to have anybody separated away from God. And as you deal with that person, as you take your Bible and show to them the gift of everlasting life, you better realize that you're dealing with somebody that will either spend eternity with God or spend eternity separated from God. That rich man in hell, he said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Father Abraham afar off, and cried, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, no, I can't do that. There's a great gulf betwixt me and thee. There's a great gulf in between us. I can't come to you. You can't come to me. And listen, those that you are dealing with, that you sow the plan of salvation with, you better realize those souls will either be separated for God from all eternity, for all eternity, or will live with Jesus Christ for all eternity. And you get to make the difference. Boy, what a privilege. Boy, what a privilege. You get to make the difference between a man or a lady spending eternity with God or spending eternity with hell, with the devil. You get to make that difference. If you really care about that person, if you really have compassion on that person, if you show that person your heart, Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you cried over a lost soul? When was the last time you cried over a lost soul? I'm sure each one of you have lost people on your prayer list that you pray for every day. Sometimes it happens that you just, time runs out and you start going down the list and you start just reading off names and the list becomes just a bunch of names to you. I encourage you to go home and say, dear God, make this list real to me. Dear God, help me. Help me as I pray for my lost uncle. God, help me to as I pray for my lost aunt. God, help me to as I pray for my lost brother. God, help me to as I pray for my lost father and mother. God, please help me. Give me my tears back. God, give me my tears back. They that sow in tears, they that sow in tears, he that goeth forth weeping. Have you shed a tear over a lost soul lately? Have you cried over a lost soul lately? See, dear God, give me those tears back. I remember my mom and dad used to be the town drunk. My dad used to be in and out of bar, in and out of the bars all the time, in and out of jail all the time. Well, finally, when he was about 27, he realized that he had to straighten up his life. He went to church, he got saved, and he didn't go to the bars anymore. And the people in the bar started gossiping about him. My dad's brothers and sisters started talking about him. Oh, Danny's got religion. Oh, Danny's got religion. He's a fanatic now. They started talking about him. And I remember praying for them. I was just a little guy. I remember we divided that family up, my dad's family up. And we each took a brother or a sister of his, and we prayed for it in the morning and at noon and in the evening. We prayed for my dad's brothers and sisters. And as we prayed for them, you could see their hearts become softened. Now, all my dad's brothers and sisters are saved. They're all in the same church. My cousins are bus captains. My uncles and aunts, they're all Sunday school teachers. It's exciting to see what God can do. You say, my uncle or my aunt is hard. They won't listen to me. I've tried witnessing to them over and over. Well, have you been praying for them? Have you been crying? When was the last time you cried about your last lost aunt or your lost uncle? Say, dear God, give me a tear. God, give me a tear. Give me a tear, dear God, for my uncle. God, give me a tear for my brother. God, give me a tear for my father. God, give me a tear for my mother. When was the last time you cried over your prayer list of lost souls? I believe the task, we see the task of the sower. We see the task of the sower. Here it says, and he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I see the task of the sower is to be faithful. The task of the sower is to be faithful. He goes out in the springtime and he sows that seed. He goes out and he keeps on sowing, keeps on sowing, keeps on sowing. He comes out the next day, it's not a great big crop. No, but he's faithful to that crop. He'll go out there and he'll take his hoe and he'll start hoeing in between the rows. He'll go out there and he'll fertilize it. The task of the sower is to be faithful. The task of the sower is to be faithful. Faithful. You say, Brother Caleb, I've tried to witness and it just doesn't seem like it works. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. You just keep on presenting the gospel. You just keep on sowing. You just keep on sowing. Someday you're going to be reaping. Someday you'll be reaping. Just keep on out there. Keep on going out there and sowing. Keep on going out there and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. Someday the harvest will come. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to reap, you're going to reap, you just hold on, you just keep on sowing, and God's going to bring the harvest in. It'll be an exciting time for you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. We turn over to the book of John in verse 4, chapter 4. We see Jesus weary with his journey that day. And as he sits on Jacob's well, a lady comes out to meet him, or comes out to get her water. And Jesus was faithful when he was weary. Jesus was faithful when he was weary. Jesus was. I remember in college we were out sowing one day, and it was a hot summer day, just like every Oklahoma summer day is a hot one. And we were out sowing, and I remember it was getting around wrapping up time. Well, we thought we should knock just a couple more doors. So we knocked on this door. This man answered the door, a middle-aged man, and he was a Muslim man. And he said, come on in, have a seat. So we went in there, and we started talking to him. He said, I thought you were some different people that I have been waiting for. He, in a few minutes, he went out and he went to the back room and he grabbed a piece of a track like this. He grabbed a tract, he brought it in. He said, I work at a pizza place, a drive-through pizza place. I work the window. And he said, a car came by the other week and gave me this piece of paper. And they said, I'll be by your house to tell you what this piece of paper means. And he said, I've been waiting for them to come by, and I've been waiting and waiting, and when you knocked on my door, I thought you were the people. I said, no, I'm not that person that drove through and gave you that piece of paper, but I can tell you what's on that piece of paper. That man, we went through the plan of salvation. That man got saved. He came to church. He got baptized, and he joined the church. Boy, that was exciting. That was an exciting day when that man came and he got saved and baptized and joined the church. He went back to Morocco, and he was so excited to tell his wife and his kids about Jesus Christ. Why? Because you just sow a little bit more. Just sow one more seed. Just sow one more seed. You know, they slam the door at this house. Well, we'll go to this house and we'll sow another seed. If they slam the door at this house, hey, we'll just go to this house. It's okay if they just keep on slamming the door. We're going to find a door that's going to take the seed sooner or later. Just keep on being faithful. I believe the task of the sower is to train other soul winners. I believe the task of the sower is to train other soul winners. As you go out, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The Bible, Apostle Paul says, the things that thou hast heard, commit thou to faithful men. Commit thou to faithful men. If you know how to lead somebody to the Lord, you get a friend that's been faithful to church. You get a friend that's going in the Lord, and you say, hey, why don't you come out sowing with me? And you don't have to talk. You don't have to introduce yourself. I'll do all the talking, and I'll go through the plan of salvation. You don't have to do anything. You just listen, and I'll teach you how to be a soul winner. You get somebody with you, I'll tell you that's the most exciting thing, to see somebody that's never led somebody to the Lord, but then watch you lead someone to the Lord, and them smile and get so excited. Boy, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Austin and I, we went out on Saturday, and we went through the plan of salvation with a few people. He had his Bible out, and I had my New Testament out. He was looking at my where I was turning. He would turn his Bible over there, and then I'd turn somewhere else. He would look over, and he would turn all over there also. And then, Sunday morning, he met me at the back of the doors. He said, Brother Caleb, I led someone to the Lord last night. And boy, that's exciting. If he just learned a little bit from going out that day, and he led somebody else to the Lord, that's a blessing to my soul. That's a blessing. You get somebody underneath you and you say, listen, you don't have to do the talking. You don't have to do the introducing. You don't have to knock on the door. I'll knock on the door. I'll talk. You just listen and I'll teach you how to be a soul winner. I believe the task of the soul winner is to train other soul winners. The task of the soul winner is to train other soul winners. I believe that the treasure of the soul, there's treasure in the sowing. There's treasure in the sowing. The Bible says in verse 6 here, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice that word right there, doubtless. Doubtless, doubtless, doubtless. That tells me that's 100% sure that I'm going to come back with the harvest. Sometime or another, I'm going to come back with a harvest. The fruit is promised. The fruit is promised. The Bible says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I remember going to Massachusetts, Greater Fall, Massachusetts. We had just finished a revival meeting, and we were coming there for 1 week. We had finished a 2-week revival meeting in Maine, and we were coming down to hold a 1-week revival meeting in Massachusetts. And we thought we'd just take it easy this week because we had been worn out from a 2-week-long revival meeting up there in Maine. So we came in Monday afternoon, and Brother Boyd always talked to the preacher Monday afternoon and see what his goals were for that week. And so all the preacher boys were kind of taking it easy, and we were just kind of relaxing. And until Brother Boyd brought the goals out. That the preacher, he said, Brother Boyd, I think we can lead 1,000 people to the Lord this week. And Brother Boyd came out and told us, Preacher Boyd, that our mouths dropped. We said, oh my goodness. Of all such a goal to have. That's praise the Lord. Well, so we started working on it. We went out sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And by the time Sunday night came, we had 1,243 people saved that week. Is sowing and just keep on sowing and keep on sowing. On Monday, it looked good. Night, that's crazy. That's a crazy goal. But if you just keep on sowing, keep on sowing, keep on sowing, the fruit is promised. Will doubtless come again with rejoicing. Doubtless come again with rejoicing. You keep on praying. You keep on asking God to give you a soul this week. Hey, maybe ask God to just let you be able to share the plan of salvation with somebody this week. God, just let me be able to share the plan of salvation. God, all I want to see is just one person saved this week. All I want to see is just one person saved. God will give you that. God will give you that. God, give me my tears back for souls. God, give me my tears back for my neighbor. God, give me my tears back for my coworker. God, give me my tears back. If you are faithful to go out there and witness, the Bible says that it will doubtless come again with rejoicing. The fruit is promised. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of a soul winner is another soul winner. The fruit of a soul winner is another soul winner. The treasure of the sower, the treasure of the soul winner, the joy enjoys the joy of the fruit. Enjoys the joy of the fruit. Boy, there's nothing more exciting that I can think about than leading someone to the Lord and then having them come Sunday morning and then having them get in that baptistry and watch them grow in the Lord. I was talking to somebody yesterday. And they said, Brother Caleb, we feel so far behind. We feel so far behind. This is a middle-aged couple. They said, we feel so far behind. We got into church so late in our life. I said, it's going to be okay. It'll be okay because salvation can come in just a minute. But growth takes a long time. I said, just be patient with yourselves. Just be patient with yourselves. You keep on coming to church. They said, we're faithful to Bible reading. We're faithful to our prayer life. I said, if you just keep on being faithful to that, you'll see yourself grow. You'll see the Lord working in your heart, working in your life like you never could ever imagine before. If you're just faithful. And the joy of that fruit is unspeakable. That joy is so great. I was thinking about it. We were talking. And it's amazing how that joy is so great. But yet when it comes to sowing, boy, it's the time to go out sowing. Sometimes you just don't want to go. And yet the last time you went out, boy, you experienced so many people saved. And it was such a blessing. Or you were able to talk to this man or this lady and encourage them. And then the next time comes and it's, oh man, I just don't want to go. You have to make yourself. You have to make yourself, and then that joy comes as you lead somebody to the Lord, or that joy comes as you start talking with somebody about salvation, and you experience that joy again. And say, man, why in the world did I even want to not come out here? It's so great to come out here and win people to the Lord. That joy you will receive if you're just faithful. I remember a couple weeks ago, we were in Minnesota, and we were able to lead a boy by the name of Chan to the Lord. And we were going to go visit him on Saturday, and we knocked on his door, and his brother-in-law came to the door, Paul. And Paul said, come on in. And he pulled out a few seats for my wife and I, and himself, and we sat down, and we started going through the plan of salvation. He said, I've gone to church several times, but I've never trusted Jesus Christ to come into my heart. A young man from Cambodia, he was about 24 years old, and we went through the plan of salvation with him. He said, yes, I would like to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me. I had a word of prayer with him, and then I had him pray and ask Jesus Christ to save him. As he was praying, he paused. Then he said, Lord, if you can find enough grace to save me and wash away my sins, I want you to be my Savior and take me to heaven when I die. Boy, that touched my heart. I left his door. I was so excited. He said him and his wife and his brother-in-law, they were all going to come and get baptized the next day. Boy, that was exciting. I can't imagine anything else more exciting than to enjoy the salvation of Paul that day. He that goeth forth, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Don't get impatient. You keep on sowing the seed. You say, Brother Caleb, I've been going out sowing on Tuesdays for a long time and I haven't seen anybody saved for a while. Well, maybe God is testing you to see if you're going to keep on being faithful to sowing it. Just keep on spreading the gospel. Just keep on sowing. The harvest is promised. The harvest is promised. Jesus Christ said in His Word, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're going out and sowing the Word of God, if you're going out and sowing the Gospel, you're going to reap souls. You're going to reap people asking you how to get to heaven. Have you ever wondered, boy, I wish I had some deep stories to be able to tell my friends about soul winning. I wish I could tell some people about the last person I led to the Lord. You're just out there faithful. Just keep on going. Keep on going. The Lord will bless you with an experience. He said, wow, God is so good. I never even thought that this could happen. And it'll encourage you to go the next time. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Ask God to give you your tears back for souls. Ask God to take that prayer list of lost souls and say, dear God, make that prayer list a real prayer list. Make that prayer list, make it so when I pray for those souls, give me my tears back. Give me my tears back, God. All I want to see this week, I want to see one person saved. We're going out sowing. Just one person saved. God, that's all I'm asking. Just one person saved, Lord. Or just being able to go through the plan of salvation once. Just being able to give the plan of salvation. God, help me to do that. Ask God to give you your tears back for souls. The treasure is guaranteed. And the fruit is so joyous once you experience it. He that goeth forth, weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, you're talking about sowing, but I don't even know that if I were to die, I'll go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I've never asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart and be my Savior. Brother Caleb, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I've never asked Jesus Christ to come to my heart and wash away my sins. That's me tonight. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, the Lord's spoken to my heart, and I haven't been the soul winner that I want to be. I haven't been the soul winner that I know God wants me to be. Brother Caleb, I just want my tears back for lost souls. Brother Caleb, I want to be faithful. Well, maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I go out sowing and I'm faithful to the soul winning meeting. But Brother Caleb, I need to train somebody else. I want to teach somebody else how to be a soul winner. You'd say, Brother Caleb, please pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand? I see those hands. The harvest is promised. And the harvest is so rewarding. You raise your hand and you say, God's worked on my heart tonight, and I want to witness to something. Maybe the Lord laid somebody's name on your heart. Maybe the Lord laid some friend on your heart. And you'd say, Brother Caleb, I need to pray for my friend more, or I want to see my friend saved, or my relative saved, or maybe my co-worker. You'd come down here and you'd pray about that and ask God to help you to be a better soul winner. Ask God to help you to be a better testimony so that souls can get saved. As the pianist plays, You just come down and do business with God and say, "Dear God, help me to be a better soldier. God, I want to see a little bit of fruit for my soul. God, give my tears back."